Aloha. Wasn't that a great video? Let's thank the video team for that. And it's so true. No one understands the heart of a woman like another woman. We laugh together in women's ministries. We cry together. We pray for each other. We give each other hugs and encouragement. And if you are a lady and you've never come out to Women in the Word or our other women's ministry opportunities, we really would love to have you join us. In fact, in your bulletins today, there's this card. And on the back, it lists a lot of activities and that are specially for women. For example, maybe you don't know, we have a book club, the Women of Hope book club that meets on the fourth Thursday of every month. We have a Moms in Prayer prayer group that meets before Women in the Word, and lots of other things. So please keep this, check it out. And I'd especially love to invite you to come to Women in the Word. You can join any week, but this Tuesday night would be a great time to start because we're just starting a brand new study. So I hope to see many of you there. We would love to have you. Well, my topic this morning is strengthening yourself in the Lord. And that's a phrase that comes right out of David's life story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We studied David last year in Women in the Word, and as we read through 1 and 2 Samuel, it was pretty obvious when David was walking closely with the Lord and trusting in God, and then when he wasn't, when he strayed a little bit. And we learned a lot about how stress and burdens and, you know, challenges can affect our walk with the Lord. For example, when David was a young man, he was a shepherd. He spent a lot of time out in the fields alone, just with the sheep and God, you know, in nature. And he would think about God's greatness, and he would compose these psalms. He would write things like, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" That's Psalm 8:3. And what we observed is, as David was focused on God, his faith soared. So when his father sent him to check on his older three brothers who were in the army and see how the war was going, and he got there and saw that huge Philistine giant Goliath taunting the soldiers of Israel, David's reaction was entirely different than everyone else's. The king and the soldiers were cowering in fear, but when David saw the giant, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And that wasn't just a naive young boy mouthing off, but David had been focusing on God. He'd been writing psalms and singing to the Lord, and so he saw the giant, almost 10 feet tall, covered with armor. But he didn't just see the giant, he saw God too, and he factored God into that situation. He was full of faith because he'd been gazing at God. We often say in Women in the Word, glance at the problems, but gaze at God. In fact, if you don't mind, if you want to take notes, you can fill that in the top of your notes. Glance at the problem. I mean, we have to face our problems and deal with them. But gaze at God. Keep him clearly in focus. Factor in his great love for you, his promise that he will never leave you or forsake you. Factor in his mighty power when you're dealing with your problems and your challenges. Well, you know what happened. No one else dared fight the giant, but young David just marched forward full of faith because he'd been gazing at God, put a little pebble in that shepherd's sling and let it fly and hit the giant in his one vulnerable spot, and over he fell dead. It was a great victory for David and for Israel that day. But fast forward a few years and things were different. David was a national hero, and he'd become very popular with the people, but King Saul had become insanely jealous and insecure about David's popularity, and so David had to run for his life, and he hid out in the caves of En-Gedi, which is in a very desolate, rugged wilderness area, and not just for a few weeks or months, but years. Some Bible scholars say 6 years or more. Some say it may have been 10 years or more, that David was just living on the lam like that. And during those years, hundreds of other people who were either running for their lives or who were just disgruntled with the government sought David out, and he became their leader. So then he had the huge responsibility of not only keeping himself alive, but keeping all these people alive who are trusting in him. And somewhere along the way, David's focus changed. There's no doubt that he still loved God, but he was so stressed out and so exhausted and so overwhelmed by the problems and by the burden of responsibility that he quit gazing at God. For a couple of years there's no mention of him ever praying or ever writing a single psalm. When David focused on his problems and left God out of the picture, his fears increased, his faith plummeted, and he made some really poor errors in judgment. So at his lowest point, David and his men came back from a raid to find that the Amalekites had kidnapped all their wives and children and taken all their possessions. And David's men were so disheartened that they were talking about stoning him. In fact, let's read it for ourselves. It's in your notes. It's 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Ready? Go. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So when he hit bottom, David finally looked back up to the Lord again, and it says he strengthened himself in the Lord. So that's what I want to talk about today, how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because we're all going to go through those times when we feel just overwhelmed by circumstances, maybe by illness or pain, or maybe a big financial setback, or a betrayal, or the loss of a loved one, etc. It might just be too much work and responsibility and pressure and stress, and we find ourselves just blown off course by the winds of adversity. I found a little video on YouTube this week that I want to show you. Maybe you can relate to this. Let's watch. Aren't they cute? Poor little things. Their feathers got all messed up and they look kind of dizzy there. But did you notice what they did? As soon as the wind stopped blowing, they jump back up, look for their mama, and just started following her again. And that's exactly what we need to do when we're hit by the winds of adversity. Pick ourselves up, look back up to the Lord, and just start following him again. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Well, I'd like to give you three practical suggestions of how to strengthen yourself in the Lord, and they all come out of one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. In fact, let's read those verses together, shall we? Ready? Go. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord has brought those verses to my mind several times during the past couple months. So I'm only telling you what I've been trying to learn and put into practice myself. I haven't been in a crisis recently, but I've just had an incredibly busy summer. Besides, you know, leading the women's ministry and writing the curriculum for our new study, my husband and I got to babysit our little granddaughters, Madison and Sienna, who are ages 4 and 3, for 5 weeks this summer. And that was just at the time that we were helping our son JP and his lovely bride Yukari plan their wedding. So it was super busy, and then we had house guests before and during and after the wedding, and it's all been kind of a whirlwind. And I remember sitting in the beauty shop the morning of the wedding, and I happened to see this little topical scripture book called God's Words of Life there on the magazine table. So I picked it up and opened it up, and it kind of fell open to the topic of rest, something that I'd had very little of for the previous weeks. And there were those verses again, just leaping off the page at me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I certainly fit that weary category that morning. And I realized that what I desperately needed was exactly what God wanted to give me, rest. And it all started with simply coming back to Him and looking at Him, recalibrating my focus on the Lord. Don't you love the fact that no matter how busy you've been or how far you've been blown off course, the Lord's always standing there with His arms stretched out to you saying, come, come back to me, come home, beloved. Let me give you rest. Let me hold you and carry your burdens. Roll them off on me. You know, throughout the Bible, starting with Adam and Eve, clear through to the book of Revelation, God is always pursuing us. He's always inviting us to come to Him. There's a well-known verse in Revelation 3:20 that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Christians sometimes quote that verse to friends who don't know the Lord yet, and indeed, the Lord is always knocking at everyone's heart door, asking them, open the door, let me in. In fact, maybe you haven't opened your heart to the Lord yet. If you hear Him knocking, if you feel Him inviting you, invite Him into your life. It's going to be the best decision you ever make. But actually, this verse wasn't written to non-believers. It was written to Christians who'd gotten lukewarm in their faith. It was written to the church of Laodicea. And, you know, Jesus was knocking at the door saying, may I come in? May I spend some time with you, please? May I dine with you, nourish you, nurture you? Aren't you amazed that the Creator of the universe cares enough about us to just keep on pursuing us and keep on inviting us to Him? That He even wants to spend time with us? He does. But sometimes we get so distracted, you know, by all the noise and the gadgets, the computer, the cell phone, the TV, and all the problems and all the pressures and all the burdens we're carrying, that we find ourselves just anxious and wandering, restless inside. And we want to rest, but we can't rest. We can't turn off our minds. We can't let it go. But all the time, Jesus is standing there with His arms outstretched, saying, come to me, come to me. Let me restore you. Maybe you hear Him calling you today. You might be thinking, yes, that is what I need to do, but how? Where do I start? Well, Pastor Wayne's always reminding us of how important it is to be in the Bible every day and to write down the things that God is teaching us. It's such a great discipline to develop. But have you ever sat down for your devotions and been so distracted or so burdened that reading the Bible and journaling felt like just one more thing you needed to do so you could check it off your to-do list, you know, and say, okay, I did that, Lord, now bless me today, and you rush off on your way? I admit I've been there plenty of times. But here's something that I find helpful. Do you remember in Genesis how after Adam and Eve had sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves and they were hiding out in the garden? And then God called to them and said, "Where are you?" Do you think God knew where Adam and Eve were? Of course he knew where they were. But I think he wanted them to think about and acknowledge where they were. So sometimes a good place to start when we come to God is simply to tell him honestly what's going on with us. For example, you might say, "Father, I am so upset today. I'm so mad. I just can't believe what he said to me." Or, you know, "I can't believe that she did that behind my back." Or whatever it is. Or maybe you want to start with, "Lord, I'm so worried about my child, about the people she's going with, or about the choices that he's making." Or maybe you need to start with, "Lord, I feel terrible. I blew it again. Here I am, same old sin. Help me, forgive me, cleanse me. Help me, Lord." Wherever you are, whatever state you're in, come honestly. In other words, would you write that in the blank? Come honestly. Just tell Jesus. He knows it all anyway, right? So you might as well just be honest with him. Bring it all to him. This is a time for intimacy. Bonnie Thomas, one of the ladies who's spoken at two or three of our women's retreats, says that the word intimacy means into me, see. So a good way to start our quiet time is just to invite the Holy Spirit to shine his light into us and show us all that stuff that is in our heart that we're carrying so that we can be honest and just bring our problems to him, let our burdens roll off of us onto the Lord. Sometimes I find it helpful to imagine that Jesus is sitting in the chair right next to me, or even that I'm sitting on his lap as he's sitting on the throne of the universe, you know, and just holding me, comforting me, like a mom or a dad hold and comfort their little child. Actually, God is even closer to us than that. If you're a Christian, then his spirit is right inside of you. The Holy Spirit is right inside of your spirit, right? So you might not be doing okay. You might feel like you're about to fall apart. But he's always okay. God is always okay, right? And if he's in you, you're going to be okay too. So spend some time in God's presence, letting him hold you and comfort you and letting him hold you together. And then don't do all the talking. Come to listen. Let him talk to you through your open Bible, through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And by the way, our listening time isn't just about us and our problems and the burdens that, you know, figuring out what we're going to do, but it's about recalibrating our focus on God and learning from him, listening to him. Isaiah said that God's ways are high above our ways, and his thoughts are high above our thoughts. Of course they are. So come listening. Jesus was always listening to his Father, and if Jesus needed his listening time, how much more do we need to be listening for God and seeking his will for our lives? Well, then the second way that we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, according to that verse that we read in Matthew 11, is take my yoke upon you. You can write that in if you're taking notes. And learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. And then it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What was Jesus talking about when he said, take my yoke upon you? He wasn't talking about an egg yolk, okay? But unless you've lived on a farm, you might not be very familiar with yokes. I think I've seen a yoke only once or twice in my life. The only one I really remember was when I was probably in sixth grade. We lived on Guam, and I saw two big carabao together in a yoke. But most of us city dwellers aren't very familiar with yokes. However, farmers have been using them around the world, down through the centuries, right up until this day. And I think we have a couple pictures. They're going to come up on the screen. The yoke is a big wooden collar that's made to go around the neck and shoulders of oxen or other big farm animals, enabling them to pull a load when they're, you know, together, working in pairs. And a yoke maker would make the basic yoke in his shop, but then he would take it out to the field and custom fit it to the animals so it wouldn't hurt or chafe them. Bible scholar William Barclay tells of a legend in the Holy Land about Jesus working together with Joseph in the carpenter shop making yokes. And according to this legend, there was a sign over the door that read, "My yokes fit well." When Jesus says in this verse, "My yoke is easy," he's saying it will fit you well. His yoke is custom designed for you. And not only that, but Jesus is the lead ox, so to speak. You were never intended to carry the load, bear the burden all by yourself. You weren't intended to pull all the weight of your life by yourself. And isn't that good news? Jesus is in the yoke with you. And as long as you're not, you know, pulling against him, or as long as you're walking in step with him, he will carry most of the weight. He will do most of the work. His yoke is light because he pulls most of the weight. So let me ask you, how are your shoulders and neck feeling? Are they a little tense and aching? Have you been trying to pull too much of the weight all by yourself, or maybe pulling against the Lord? Have you been trying to lead him instead of letting him lead you? It's hard for some of us to let go and cooperate with Jesus, but when we do that, life gets so much easier. I saw a quote by Frederick Buchner on Facebook the other day that said, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." And I love that. God knows each one of us inside out. He knows everything about you. He knows the gifts he's placed in you, the talents, the passions that you have. And he knows what the world needs, what the people around you need. And he is able to make your work and your ministry fulfilling and joyful while at the same time meeting the needs of the people around you. We see that happening all the time in women's ministries. You know, God places other women in our lives who need to hear exactly what we have to share, what we've learned through our struggles, or who need our prayers, and then vice versa. We get to hear from them and learn from them and be ministered to by them. Jesus is the expert on your life, and he is offering to slip his mighty shoulder into the yoke beside you and do most of the heavy lifting. Isn't that a relief? But here's the thing. Some of us have E-type personalities. Any of you like me, do you have a tendency to think that you need to like be everything for everybody and meet everybody's needs all the time? Some of us women especially just sort of do that automatically. But if so, you might be getting a little ahead of the Lord or out of step with the Lord, trying to lead him instead of the other way around. You know, Jesus went about doing good, preaching the gospel, delivering those who had demon spirits, and healing the sick. But he didn't heal all the sick in Israel during his 3.5 years of ministry. He didn't cast out every demon. He didn't preach the gospel to every single individual. Why? Because during his years on earth, Jesus was in a human body like we are, a body that got tired and hungry and thirsty and that needed rest. So he knew his limitations, and he didn't try to do it all. Instead, he was always listening to his Father and only doing what his Father was leading him to do. And that's how we need to be, always listening to the Lord, realizing we can't be everything for everybody, and just do the next thing God leads us to do. It's okay to say no sometimes. So are you in the yoke with Jesus? Then let him lead. Let him pull most of the weight. And then the third way that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord, according to this verse, is rest. You can write that next to number 3. Do you know that God wants you to rest? That's right. It's not a sin to relax. Scripture says that God wants his beloved children to get their proper rest. And even God rested on the seventh day after he created the heavens and the earth. And he said that we're to take one day out of every week to rest and to recalibrate our focus on him. Just relax in his presence and worship him. So remember the shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, where David was writing as if he was a little sheep? And he wrote, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." I remember meditating on that verse one time when I was very busy and very distracted, and I felt like Jesus was telling me, "Susie, just lay down and rest." And it was hard to do. You know, I had so much going on and thinking about, but finally, when I quieted my spirit, I realized, oh, this is pretty nice. I'm in a green pasture here. I hadn't even appreciated it, you know, all the gifts that God's given me. So I put a little sign in my garden now that says relax, because I need to be reminded sometimes. The Lord doesn't want us to be lazy, but he does want us to rest. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret while you're waiting. Rest." And Deuteronomy 33:12 says, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." Kind of reminds me of those pictures I've seen of Jesus carrying a little lamb on his shoulders. Sometimes my little granddaughters fight resting. They don't want to take a nap. They don't want to go to bed, you know. And I guess because they're afraid they're going to miss something. But when they don't get their rest, they start to get cranky, and then they start to get themselves into trouble. So let me ask you, have you been a little cranky lately? Don't elbow your neighbor there. When was the last time that you just rolled your burdens off onto the Lord and rested? Just quit thinking about it, rested. We all need physical and emotional rest, but there's a rest God wants to give us that's even deeper than that. It's what I call heart rest. We experience heart rest when we really trust in God, when we trust that he loves us, when we trust his word that says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love," when we trust his promise, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Heart rest comes when we really believe God and trust him, even when things aren't going right, in fact, when they seem to be going all wrong. One of the verses that we quote a lot in Women in the Word is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes when we get in a crisis or we're just exhausted, we can't imagine how anything good could possibly come out of it. But God promises that if we're walking with him, if we love him, we're walking in his purposes, he will work everything, even the worst things, out for good. So that's when we get to take our focus off the problems and put it back on the only one who can work good, bring good out of all the terrible things. But it happens when we choose to trust him, the one who sees the end from the beginning. We choose to believe that he knows what he's doing and put our trust in him. It's a deliberate choice. Heart rest occurs when we trust God, even when we can't see how he could possibly work things out for good. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." John the Baptist got to learn that the hard way. He was in prison and sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you really the one, the Christ, or should we look for someone else?" And of course, his implication was, "Remember me, your relative, your forerunner, the one who pointed you out to the world as the Christ. I'm here in jail. You want to come and help me out? Jesus said this to John's disciples. He said, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And here's the part I want you to especially catch. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus was the one. He was the Christ, as his deeds clearly proved. But he didn't run to rescue John, as John hoped he would. How many of you know, sometimes for reasons we can't understand, God allows us to suffer? The thing is to not allow ourselves to be offended with him when we go through those seasons of suffering, or when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we wish he would. We often say, Jesus is Lord, he's my Lord and Savior, but then we want him to do things our way. We're like, Lord, help! I need you to do this and that, right? But if we will choose, when we're going through those difficult seasons, to submit to his lordship, to believe that he loves us, and not be offended when he doesn't answer our prayers the way we wish he would, that's when we really experience a heart at rest. And that's also when we shine the most brightly for the Lord. Corrie ten Boom wrote about her sister Nolly's arrest by the Nazis for hiding two Jews in her home during World War II. And there were five other women in the dark prison cell where they put Nolly. And the other women were just amazed by her countenance and her demeanor. And they asked, don't you cry? Because they had all cried a lot when they first entered prison. But Nolly said, no, I'm not crying, for I know that God does not make mistakes, even allowing the Nazis to bring me here. Despite terrible circumstances, Nolly had that peace of mind and heart. Her heart was at rest because she was trusting in God, trusting in his love, trusting in his mighty power, trusting in his wisdom, and she was not offended with his choice, even though his plans were way different than what she would have liked. The same is true for the Apostle Paul, who could sing and praise God even after being whipped and chained in a prison cell. And it turns out that some of his greatest ministry came out of those times that he was in jail, because that's when he was writing those letters to the churches. He probably thought he was just writing to encourage the believers, you know, that he had led to Christ, writing to the churches. But little did he know that in God's great plan, his letters would become part of the New Testament. They would be read by people around the world, down through the centuries, and still be ministering to us today. God's plan was so much higher and greater than Paul's. But I'm sure Paul didn't understand why the Lord was allowing him in jail, but he chose not to be offended with God's plans, to trust in the Lord. And so his heart was at rest, and he could praise God even when he was in stocks or chains. So heart rest is independent of external circumstances. It's a miracle when we can trust God and rest in him like that when we're in the middle of a crisis. A miracle that only occurs when we intentionally choose to trust God and not be offended by him no matter what's going on. There's a little song that kind of says it all. The lyrics go, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. And that's how I want to live. How about you? Facing whatever circumstances may come with a heart at rest, because I know that I know that I know that he loves me and his plans are good and he's going to bring good out of even the most terrible things. By the way, when David's men were talking about stoning him and he finally looked up and strengthened himself in the Lord, God gave him the faith and the energy to pursue the Amalekites, and they were able to get all their wives and all their children and all their possessions back. Which perfectly illustrates the scripture that I want to close with, Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31. It says, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord, in other words, who come to him, who are in the yoke with him, letting him lead and pull most of the way, who are resting in him, will renew their strength, it says. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that's what God wants us to experience. He wants to increase your strength. He wants you to soar because he loves you so much. So may I pray for us right now as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word, which encourages us to just come to you just as we are, anytime. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to run back to you. Help us not to just focus on the problems and the difficulties, but to focus on you, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters here, especially those who are going through really difficult circumstances right now, or who are carrying heavy burdens of responsibility. Lord, I pray that they would sense your presence and remember your love, Lord. I pray that you would minister to them, carry them through the difficult times, work out the circumstances, and help them not to be offended by you. Lord, I thank you for your everlasting love for us. I thank you for your great wisdom and your mighty power. Help us to factor that in to whatever circumstance we're going through, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those words, that song is so beautiful. Right now, I believe that those lyrics, prompted by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, is piercing hearts this morning, hearts that have walked in, hearts that are looking for answers to questions, hearts that are perhaps God knocking on that door to open, to come to Jesus. You know, as Pastor Susie Lamb shared today, don't we all need strength in the Lord? All the time, yes, yes, yes. And this morning, God is saying, I want to give you that strength. I want to give you that assurance. I want to give you that peace and joy. I'm going to ask that you all bow your heads at this time. And knowing that God could have orchestrated this whole service just for you, because he wanted to hear the message that in your weakness when you walked in, he says, I want to be strong. In your heartache, perhaps when you walked in, he wants you to know, he wants to quell your heart. In your questions about what's going on in life right now, he wants you to know, I have the answer. And all you need to do this morning is to say, yes, strengthen me. Meet me, because I am going to step forth. As he opens that door, hear his knock. Hear his love. Some of you, that door that God is knocking on is about a relationship with him, to know him as Lord and Savior. And what that means is that he will renew your life and cast all your burdens behind, and that this day was made for you to open up your hearts to Jesus Christ and to say yes. Don't put it off, because as the lyrics sung by JP say, we can come to Jesus, we can fall on Jesus, we can cry to Jesus, we can get on our knees, knowing that when you say yes, you will dance with Jesus, you will sing to Jesus, and you will be loved by Jesus. So with every head bowed right now, I know there are hearts that God is just saying, meet me. And if that is you this morning, that you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, perhaps you've backslidden or fallen away, but he's calling you home. This morning, just raise your hands. Raise your hands. Let's see that hand, those two hands there, back there on the side. Yes, here on this side, up there in the balcony. God sees your hands. Yes, I love both hands up because you are surrendering to him. Any others? Yes. We are gathered in his name, and he is moving through this house, and he is pleased. He is pleased that you have come to know him. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he came to die on the cross for my sins. Dear Jesus, I come to you. I give you my sins. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I turn from my old ways and I turn to you. A new life in Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, alive, strengthened, joyous, and in love with you. And I say all this so you can hear, so I can hear, so the devil can hear, so I can hear myself, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering and thank you for all of the people who have come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and stand. You know, standing here and looking out, there is nothing that is more pleasing than seeing hands become, go up and become a part of the Lord. Thank you for saying yes. Dear Lord, thank you for this family, this Ohana, that you've just expanded by so many hands every service to be a part of the family of God. And thank you for everyone that has walked into the house of the Lord today and walk out strengthened, walk out with peace, joy, and confidence in this world that we are not a part of, that we have overcome because of you. So, Lord, may we walk out different than when we came in because we serve you, a great God. And we are so thankful. We pray all these things in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. Amen. You know, before we sing our last song, for those of you who have accepted the Lord, you're going to see ushers holding up a yes packet. In that packet, you'll find a Bible and more information about your next steps. Please grab a packet and welcome to the family of God. Thank you. Let's go ahead and sing our last song.
Our praise is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great. Our praise is our God.
God bless you. Drive safely. Have a blessed day.